morning, just for a few moments, if you do have your Bibles, you found your place, Isaiah chapter 60. We'll primarily stay in the book of Isaiah. And it's winter. We've got a little snow out there. It's cold. We've got ice out there. And so we've got through 2018, and we're into now a new year, 2019. Taxes, get ready to prepare your taxes for the tax man, those that do taxes and pay taxes. So you got it, that's coming up April 15th. It'll be here before you know it. But just for a few moments this morning, I want to encourage you and to speak of things that not only are true, of course, but are wonderful to the ears of those that have put their trust in Jesus Christ. And if you're saved in here this morning, you can rest assured in the things that we're going to look at and read about our Savior. And I've entitled this, Our God is Everlasting. Our God is Everlasting. I know it's a simple when it's said, but when you think about it, an everlasting God. There's a lot of gods in this world that you and I live in, especially in America. We are blessed, you might say, and then there's also a cursing or a curse that comes with being blessed. It kind of takes your time. It takes your talents. It takes your treasure. Depends on what you get into. And there are many gods, though, in this world that are not everlasting. You have the God of work, you might say. You can deem it under work. Some of us work crazy. We work and work and work and work, and that's the God we bow down to, if you please. But you need to work. The Bible says it's good if a man works and earns his way, but sometimes we put that in front of God, the things of God, and it's not good. But it's not everlasting. You know, you can slip and fall, break your leg, and you're out of work for a while. You can have a heart attack, find yourself in a hospital, and you're done. And so it doesn't last forever. There's many gods. There's the God of entertainment. There's the God of recreation. And you can go on and on and on. And they're not everlasting. They're not everlasting. There's gods that the world is deemed as gods. Confucius, Muhammad, Allah, you can go down through a whole list. They're not everlasting gods. They had an end. They died and went on, and they went on. They're not everlasting. We serve, we pray to, and we put our trust in an everlasting God. Let's look for a few moments, Isaiah chapter 60, and we're going to read a couple verses here and make some points. But our God is everlasting. Isaiah chapter 60, in verse 19 and verse 20, the Bible says, the sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. Look at verse 20. He says, the sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself, for the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning, of our mourning shall be ended. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we bow before you this morning, and we have, Father, we have sung songs about you, and Father, we've lifted up our voices to you. Father, we've taken up our offering, what you've blessed us with, what you have prospered us with this week. And Father, we've lifted up our loved ones, those that are sick, and Father, maybe bedridden, and Father, just need prayer today, need strength from you and encouragement. We lift that up before you today, those that need healing, those struggling with, Father, serious illness, cancer, and Father, we want to lift them up again before you, that you would heal them. And Father, be with our preaching here. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Be with your words. Be encouragement to the hearts and the souls that have come to listen. And Father, most importantly, if there be one here that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, that they would come to know you as Savior of their life and of their heart today. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's blessed name we pray. Amen. Here in Isaiah chapter 60, now for the sake of a doctrinal or historical setting, I understand this is a prophet dealing with the nation of Israel. And he is not only speaking in the time that it was written in, as God told him to write it down, but he's speaking prophetically of things to come. And so if you were to look at this passage and look at actually the whole book of Isaiah, there's a lot written. There's a lot written that God had given him by the power of the Holy Spirit to write. And this morning we want to spiritually apply some of these points that we'll be looking at. We're going to examine them a little bit, but we're looking at things that are everlasting that our God has and gives us and does for us. And we see the first one, it says it's an everlasting light, that God is an everlasting light. He said the sun is going to be done away with, and ultimately it will, and God will be the light. Says the moon will be done away with. It's not going to shed her light. But it says God will be our light, our everlasting light, and God is an everlasting light. We see this, the Bible speaks of this many different times. I thought, well, I'd gather some verses that deal with everlasting. And I got a little sword searcher and looked that up. Man, I could spend hours looking at everlasting. There's a lot. The Bible uses it, and God uses everlasting quite a bit. So we just have six of them this morning. You know, the Bible speaks of this light. If you go with me in the Bible, in your memory of the Bible, if you turn, I'm going to turn there to John, one of the Gospels there, John chapter 1. You know, John, he was a prophet born out of due time, and he spoke of this light. Means that we're saying this morning that God is our everlasting light. If you look in John chapter 1 with me, John chapter 1, we'll notice a couple of verses here. John chapter 1, look at verse 4. He states and begins by saying, in the beginning, God, or the Word was the Word, was in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Now look at verse 4. He says, in Him was life, and the life that was the light of men. We notice that here John is stating something, a factual, about Christ. And he's trying to reveal Christ to the Jewish people here. In verse 5 he says, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. In verse 7, the same came for a witness to bear witness of that light, or of the light, that all men through him might believe. Notice what he says here in verse 8, he was not that light. John was not the one, he was not the Messiah, but there was one that was coming. He said he was not that light, but that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. I'm sorry, look at verse 8, was sent to bear witness of that light. In verse 9, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. I love how this is worded, and something that we find about God and his everlasting light, if you please, is that light's greater than darkness. Light is always greater than dark. It is stronger. It is more powerful than darkness. That's why you get in a dark room, you light a little match or a candle, and it lights the room up. It is light is more powerful than darkness. And John was stating that this light is coming, and he was to bear witness of this light. This morning, we're saying that God is an everlasting light. God is an everlasting light. There's something else that God gives us that's everlasting that we'll notice here in Isaiah. If you're back in Isaiah, turn with me to the 26th chapter of Isaiah. I say we'll do a little moving around here, but this is quite fascinating. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 4. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 4. Notice something here. Not only is God an everlasting light, not only is God the light of the world that we say, not just for a few or a select, but the whole world. But notice with me in verse number 4, Isaiah chapter 26, he says, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. This morning, I am happy to tell you that not only God is an everlasting light, but he gives us and he is an everlasting strength. You know, there's times in our lives that we go through valleys. There's times in our life we're going to have storms come up in our life. And you're not going to be able to see the light at the end of the tunnel. At least you think so in the moment. But God is an everlasting strength. Not only is He strength, but He's that light. And you say, well, with the grace of God, will it take me all the way to the end? It will take you all the way to the end. Does God have enough strength to get me to the end? He has enough strength not only to get you to the end, but into all eternity, because He is an everlasting light and He's an everlasting strength, a source that you and I can draw on this morning. And it's encouraging to know that we have our everlasting God. I think about that and I think, man, I rest assured in that. My salvation, my soul's salvation, and your salvation rest on an everlasting God. What He has promised, what He has stated that He would do until the day of redemption. And so we see further as we look in Isaiah. Notice with me, turn back to the right to Isaiah chapter 35. And we can speak of light. We can speak of strength, and but there's nothing like the light of God. There's nothing like the strength of God. And you say, well, how powerful is it? It's powerful. It's very powerful, but it's also everlasting. It doesn't end. There's no ending to it. Isaiah chapter 35. I'll get over there. Notice with me at verse number 10. He says, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Listen, there's an everlasting joy that as Christians, as saved folks, no matter where you're at in the world, no matter what storm you might be in or be looking to face, no matter what valley or what mountaintop you're on this morning, you can enjoy an everlasting joy. It doesn't end. There's not just little bits pieced out, chopped up. There's not certain things you have to do. God gives us an everlasting joy. The Bible speaks of this. And it doesn't die. It doesn't wane away. It doesn't become weak. It is there. It's always there for the taking. Everlasting joy. That's not the only thing that's everlasting that's hooked with our God. Isaiah 54. Notice with me in Isaiah chapter 54. Isaiah chapter 54. I think of everlasting joy that we just looked at. We think of the fruit of the Spirit that the Bible tells us about in Galatians chapter 5. And that is to be manifested in your life and in my life is the love and the joy. Joy is one of those fruit that the Holy Spirit gives you and I to manifest to the world. And so that joy, it's an everlasting joy. It's not superficial. It's not fake. It's not artificial. It's real and it's everlasting, but there's something else here. Isaiah 54. Notice with me. I believe I want 10. Isaiah 54, 8 and 10. It says here in verse 8, "In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer." Notice with me in verse 10, verse 9, "For this is as the waters of Noah unto me, for as I have sworn thee, the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee nor rebuke thee." In verse 10, "For the mountains shall depart and the hills shall be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord, that have mercy on thee." We find here that not only do we enjoy an everlasting joy, not only do we enjoy an everlasting strength and an everlasting light to light our path and our way, but we are going to enjoy and can enjoy an everlasting kindness. He says that the mountains can pass away, and they will. One day, you and I will see this earth flattened, if you please, or a fire scorched. But he says his kindness is not going to pass away. It's going to be here all the way through. And that kindness and that joy and that strength takes you and me through this physical life. This physical life. Solomon said that this life is but a vapor. It's quickly done away with. Those that have some age on us, You can look back and you can recall memories from your childhood, or recall memories of the yesterday, maybe 10 years ago, maybe 15 years ago, and it seems like it just was here, and it doesn't the memory is it's but a vapor. It's like smoke. It vanishes. We had that birthday gathering for my grandmother, 90th birthday, and it was good to see her. And man, she is. She plays that fiddle, and her mind is sharp as a tack. Just talk about money or politics, and she's right on top of it. But we had some time there with family I hadn't seen probably close to 20 years. And so you wouldn't exaggerate much in Sunday school with the Gabberts, you know, get together about every 20 or 90 years. But there were some cousins there that we got to talk to and remember, bringing up remembrance and memories of the past that we shared together when we were younger. And it seemed, we talked and we even stated that it seemed like it had passed so quickly. Life, it's but a vapor. That's why in preaching, that's why in teaching, there's a plea to salvation. Because today is that day. You're in the moment. The Christ has been lifted up. The light has been shed on the gospel. The heart is ready to be open if you but open it and receive Christ. And so now is the time, because eternity, you say, well, it's all over in eternity. It just starts in eternity. We're spiritual beings having a physical experience, if you please, just in this vapor that we live in that God affords us. And so, but for a few moments, a few years, we want to bring light to the gospel that man needs a Savior. And here we're looking at an everlasting God that has given us everlasting love, light, strength, joy, and kindness. But I want to notice something else here. We're close to chapter 55. Notice with me in verses 3, chapter 55 there in Isaiah. He says, "Incline your ear and come unto me. Here your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David." Now, this verse is definitely, and now, like I said, the context doctrinally is dealing with God's chosen people, the nation of Israel. But there's a covenant that God put forth in Genesis, and one of the first times it's mentioned, Genesis chapter 17, let me read it to you in verse 7. He says, "And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee and their generations for an everlasting covenant to God, or to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee." God wants to be your God this morning. God wants to be everybody's God, an everlasting God. God is a kind God. God gives us this everlasting light, His Word, to shed light. He gives us this everlasting strength that we can draw from and use. He gives us this everlasting joy that not only we can share, or we have and enjoy, but we can share with other people. He gives us this kindness that only comes from God. And then we look at this covenant that God says, "Look, I'll make a covenant with you. I want to be your God. If you be my God, you be my people. I'll be your God." And He says it's an everlasting covenant. It doesn't die away. It doesn't change. If you choose not to want God, that covenant is still there. And God will honor His covenant forever. That's why He calls it an everlasting covenant. And so we look in Isaiah and we see these everlasting promises that God has given us. Look in Isaiah. We want Isaiah chapter 33. Chapter 33. Notice with me another one here that He gives you and I. This one is a more serious one. And to have a righteous God, there must be not only a righteousness of truth, but of judgment. That's the opposite. And because God is holy and righteous and just, therefore there must be proper and correct judgment, or justice, if you please. Isaiah chapter 33 speaks of this, and I want verse 14. Notice with me, it says, "The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness hath surpassed or surprised the hypocrites. Who among you shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with an everlasting burnings?" Here, it's speaking of a judgment that is before them. And it's speaking of the sinners and the hypocrites that think they're going to walk away from being in that state or that lifestyle and not be judged. The Bible says there's a judgment coming. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit has come. God has come to reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Judgment is part of this thing. Here we need to take heed to this judgment. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 17 states this about judgment. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Listen, you say, well, I think I can skip through this life and not worry about that, and I'll get up before God and He's going to have these balances and all my good is going to be put on the good side and all my bad is going to be, what little bad I have is going to put on the little side, and my good's going to outweigh my bad, and He's going to open the pearly gates and I'm walking in. Well, the Bible says the balances that He does have, Jesus Christ is on one side. His perfect life is on that side. His perfect life that He shed on the cross is on that side. His innocent, perfect, everlasting blood is on that side. His death, His burial, and a resurrection is on that side. So if you can supersede that and you get on the other side, then they'll probably open the pearly gates for you. But that's why Christ said, look, you need to look at my Christ, the finished work on the cross that I've given you. That's all you need to do. What's the Bible say in the Old Testament about that serpent? If he be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto myself. You simply lift up Christ. Man has the choice. But the choice has a consequence. You know choices. We're old enough. We know. Choices. You make choices, they have consequences. If you make good choices, you get good consequences. If you make bad choices, you get the bad side of things. The judgment's that way. Judgment, Christ is holy, right, and just. And here Isaiah warns his people, not only warns his people, but a warning for us that there's an everlasting judgment. It's going to last. It's not going to go away. God isn't going to change His mind on that. And so here the Bible warns you and I to not escape that, to remember that, so we make wise and good choices. And one of the choices I want to draw your attention to and end on, notice with me Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah chapter 45, there is definitely a judgment for every one of us. And, you know, you hear this, well, my mom or my dad or my brother or my sister or my grandma or my grandfather, or they said this, or I heard this, or I was taught that. And the Bible helps clarify that. It really defines it and says, that a man, each person shall give an account of himself before God. It's going to hinge on what you have done. And the reason why is because you're born with the will. You're born with a conscience. Nobody makes your mind up for you, although you might have some goofball somewhere that tries. But you have your own, well, you make your own choices. That's why every man is going to give an account of himself before an all-righteous God. And notice something, though. I want to draw this to our attention. This is very important. Isaiah chapter 45. Notice with me in verse 17 what the Bible says here. He says, but Israel. I understand the context, again, is dealing with Israel doctrinally, but spiritually, it's going to deal with you and I. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation, ye shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end, he states there. You say, what do you want to look at? I want to look at the everlasting salvation. I understand we have an everlasting judgment, and we should heed that warning wisely. But the reason why we want to heed it is because what God offers you and I. Those that are saved in here know exactly what I'm going to say and what I'm talking about the salvation, the free gift, the everlasting salvation that we enjoy. And I'm glad it's an everlasting salvation. Here it states that very simply. And so we need to understand that if we don't make the right choice here, when we are able to make choices, when you step into eternity, it's going to be different. It's over. This life, this known world is done. This physical world. And then you step into eternity. If you have not made the right choices now, you're going to reap the consequences of those choices in eternity. And because you're in eternity, you're not in time now, it's going to last forever. not just for a short time. Our life consists around time. I have a watch on here. I'm looking at the clock. We got places to go, food to eat, things to do, people to see. We are oriented around time. In eternity, it's not oriented around time. It's oriented around eternity everlasting. So let me read some verses and we're going to draw our point here. Those that have not accepted Christ, take heed. For the Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 4 verse 14 says, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up to everlasting life. The Bible goes on to say in verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. He says here, and shall not come into condemnation, that's the judgment, but is passed from death to life. In John chapter 6 and verse 47 states, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Listen, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, today is the day. He says that He not only gives us an everlasting salvation, not only does He make an everlasting covenant, not only do you and I get to enjoy the kindness, the everlasting kindness, not only do we enjoy and use the joy, the everlasting joy, but the everlasting strength that God affords you and I, Christians, to get through this life, this tough life, this dark world, if you please. But He sheds light, and the first light that you see is He lights the light of men. In 1 John chapter 1, we read it. And His first concern is that the light, that men need light. And He says that they choose darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. That we got from our grandpappy Adam and Eve, and that's passed down to every one of us. And the fact and the proof of that is death. Because the Bible says the wages of that sin, because we are sinners, is death. And so we live on a graveyard. And so God says, look, the first thing I want to light is the light. I want to light men. Men need light. And this morning, I'm saying the same thing again, as the Bible states, we need light. We need an everlasting light, something that will take us into eternity, and we get to pass this condemnation. So the Bible's clear this morning with a decision at heart. If you've never accepted Christ, today you need to accept Christ. Because we know not what tomorrow brings forth. We know not when our number, if you please, is called to go into eternity. Let's all stand this morning. If you're here and you're saved, you have some everlasting covenants with God. And we enjoy that daily. I know I do. I enjoy it, and I a lot of times take it for granted and forget to thank Him for what He's given us. But I'm thankful that we worship, we serve, and we obey an everlasting God. He's not going to pass away. His strength's not going to pass away. His kindness is everlasting. But in drawing men in this age, in this time, it will pass away. And eternity will take place. You can make a decision this morning that will change in eternity. You can change eternity this morning if you but set Christ. But it's on you, because He give you a will and He give you your choice to freely love Him or to freely reject Christ. Hopefully you accept Him this morning, because He's an everlasting God. He's not going away. Pastor.